Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life. And welcome back to Idle Red Hands. I'm Chris.
I'm Wayne.
I'm Lyle.
Ooh. Big news today.
Yeah.
Exciting news, anyway. We got a comment on one of our episodes, The Art of Seduction, on DriveThruRPG.
And a rating.
And a rating, yeah. From a Mr. Tim Rodriguez. Tim, thank you very much. He said this solid episode from Idle Red Hands with interesting content presented more off the cuff than planned. But I think they have a good, honest discussion of seduction and sex in RPGs without getting misogynist or terribly awkward. It would have been interesting to have a woman's perspective at the table, but instead they spun the discretion to specifically reflect an all-male cast gaming table. Solid work. I'll check out other episodes. So thank you again, Tim. That's we're very proud to have that.
Yeah, I like it. And I like Lyle's comment about how if you thought that sounded off the cuff, and what else some of our other episodes come off as. Because we thought that one was pretty well planned and structured.
Yeah. But, oh well, off the cuff's better than... shambles.
Which occasionally. No, but please, if you like our episode, or for that matter, if you don't like our episode, we would appreciate feedback for it. The website or the forums or DriveThruRPG.
Yeah, secret feedback is good for the negative stuff.
Maybe perhaps like, you guys suck isn't going to help. It's some way that we can.
Constructive.
Yes.
Constructive criticism.
Oh, yeah. So why I always go on, now that I know that we have that rating, I'm kind of obsessed with going on and checking to make sure. Seeing if other people have left ratings.
Yeah, it's unfortunately we haven't gotten that many yet. I keep checking the stats on the website to seeing who's coming in. And,
yeah, we don't seem to have at least enough for iTunes.
Right.
Or at least there's no comments that we can access.
Yeah. I saw when I was checking out our link-ins the other day, seeing where what some of the websites other people are linking in from, there was two hits from, sexvibrators.com. Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, now that you mention it, I guess Idle Red Hands could could sound like some sort of masturbation site.
Yeah, it's...
Or something.
I don't know. I reckon it's probably one of the spam bots or somebody from China who wanted to post an advertisement for them on our forum. But I think it's a shopping site because one of them was from a category in sexvibrators.com. It was the tongue vibrator. Not that I actually checked out the website, of course.
Of course not.
Of course not. Of course not. Or not bookmark it or anything. Yeah.
Is that the window you were hastily closing when you opened up the recording program? Okay.
Maybe we should change it into Idle White Hands.
No.
But I would just like to say to those people tuning in from sexvibrator.com or sexyvibrator.com, thank you, welcome. And any listeners
are listening.
Okay. Yeah.
You might want to check out the episode on seduction.
I think they already did.
Yeah, but I just want you to know, from now on, all my comments will be double entendres, appealing to our two audiences now. So, I mean, it's just funny where listeners come from.
Yeah.
And whether or not they stay, I guess it doesn't matter. I guess I think we actually lost all our listeners from all the other sites.
Yeah, gone.
But yeah, I guess, the sites are there because people are compelled to do certain things. And actually, that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about addiction and, I guess, compulsion as well. Mm-hmm. So today we're going to be looking at... how to use or how to incorporate addiction in your games. Mm-hmm. And we're not psychologists, so for all our...
we're barely even mature.
Yeah,
You know, psychologists, I think I already established that with my joke. So, I mean, we're using some very very broad definitions on what is addiction. Mm-hmm. And we're going to divide the episode into basically three parts. First, we're going to talk about psychological addictions, then we're going to talk about physical addictions, mm-hmm. And of course, when you talk about a subject like addiction and how to incorporate it into your game, there's always a chance that you could be crossing some lines or, so we'll also be talking about things to be conscious of and be aware of when you are using addiction either as the game master or incorporating addiction as a player. Mm-hmm. So first up, psychological addictions. What are some things that you think would be appropriate? And by appropriate, I mean playable. You know, it's still...
The first thing I was going to go for is, like, addiction to internet porn or something, but yeah, that's hard to play at the table.
Yeah, but what... I mean, appropriate, not necessarily clean. Yeah. we could get into certain types of addictions,
a game that incorporates a lot of addiction as part of the story is probably not going to be that clean of a game. I imagine it being quite gritty.
Right.
Not yeah, necessarily but so, but...
But I mean, like, instead of appropriate, I mean just playable.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, because there's some addictions where the character would probably be unplayable. Mm-hmm. You know, such as internet porn. It's like, yeah, where's Bob? Oh, he's home in front of the computer screen again. Well, we don't have that character in the game, you know. the guy who never shows up. You're like, well, yeah, there were supposed to be 5 people in your party. We only have ever seen 4.
You know, actually, come to think of it, a lot of psychological addictions that are coming to mind at first, for example, gambling or internet addiction or maybe sex addiction... are things that don't involve a lot of other people or in sex addiction.
I'm
going to
disagree. Because, okay, like let's say gambling addiction.
Yeah.
I would argue that is a very playable, and actually I think that would be a very interesting addiction to incorporate into a game.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that's kind of clean.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine a lot of people, unless their family got devastated through gambling addiction, raising a lot of objections to somebody playing a gambling addict.
Mm-hmm.
But think about how... Of course, you could say, well, I'm going to just plunk myself in front of a slot machine and just be there, like, you know, 20 hours a day. Okay, that's not really what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But how would somebody who's a gambling addict, how would that affect them in the other interactions, when they are interacting with other people and not just a slot machine? Perhaps you could kind of, what's the word I'm using? I guess... romanticize it a bit, and they're kind of a daredevil.
Yeah,
you know, they're always gonna. You know, I like those odds, or you know, like you know, the classic Empire Strikes Back. You know, never tell me the odds, and it's like, yeah, tell me the odds.
I want to know.
Yeah, I can do it then. Yeah, 1,000,000 to 1 shot.
Yeah.
I can do that.
For that matter, just always any situation you're in, wager with the other characters. So
right.
If you want to bet, we win this fight or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah, I can.
And that could be a way to both manipulate that person, and the fun way to play that person is that you know.
Actually, now that you mentioned that, like I just said, maybe internet addiction wouldn't be a very good one, but imagine if you played a character in, say, like a cyberpunk setting where you're a netrunner or somebody who runs on the grid in Shadowrun, and you always want to try and do something with that aspect to it. You know, if you guys are invading a corporation, sure, you need to use the grid for that, but maybe you want to use it for everything to the point where there's some tension with the other characters about how much of it has to be done in the physical world versus how much is done in the... net world.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because the interesting thing that for something like, I'm glad you broadened it to internet addiction, is it's not so much them interfacing with the internet, which actually is kind of consuming a lot of our broadcasting on the internet.
Yeah, and it's horrible, yeah.
And please, just stay plugged in.
Yeah.
But is when they're offline, and how are they interacting? And like you said, yeah, you know, if you have a hammer, every problem looks like a nail.
I think I actually was quoted, when you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Don't get my hammer!
Oh, I'm a hammer addict. a hardware addict. Mm. Man, don't drive by Ace Hardware.
But you know what? Actually, something like that could work as well. Maybe this is stretching the term addiction, but if you're, say, someone who uses a certain weapon or a certain method of fighting or a certain method of doing something, almost like an OCD where you insist on doing it that way. You have no flexibility for it.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm famous for splitting hairs, but anyway, that's more like a like, whereas like a compulsion is you feel like you don't want to really do this thing, but you feel like you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, could you work that in somehow? Yeah, somehow... Well, I mean, I could see that in like a kind of like a cyberpunk game, like you know, kind of hiding your trail or making sure you don't get caught or being kind of off the grid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really important. So I would imagine hackers develop a routine so that they, you know, cover up their tracks.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost sort of I could see that becoming not so much like a tool to help them, but almost like, yeah, it's a compulsion where like you don't feel safe anymore unless you go through these steps, unless you do these things.
Yeah.
And that then it would become more of a compulsion, you know, kind of like the classic, like, did I lock the door? I don't remember. Did I turn off all these things? Did I run through these security protocols?
That's an excellent point. I think it's veering more into the way of OCDs, though, than addictions.
But can you really sort of separate the two?
As far as the result, not really, no. But as far as what it is...
I guess if you look at like a psychological addiction as something that you is an action that you take that you can't control,
yeah,
that you have to do it. So then you could if you're looking at like the criminal or even the hero that always has to leave a calling card behind,
mm-hmm, yeah,
then, yeah, you could say that that's some sort of, I mean, that's a compulsion.
That's a compulsion, not an addiction. Well, I don't want to get into defining
that. Right, but, sorry. But as far as this episode goes, I mean, that's, if somebody wants to say, yeah, that, because that could be quite interesting, or what Wayne is talking about, like, we've only got 20 seconds, and the shutdown routine is 30, 40 a minute.
Yeah, you realize that you might knock it out, but
you're not going to leave. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the whenever we bring up an addiction or a compulsion, is the thing is you got to do it, and it's not. And I know a lot of game systems have built in is people take habits, you know, in Savage Worlds, or they take a certain disadvantage in GURPS or things in World of Darkness. Is that's a lot of times some people just take it because it gives them an extra point or a couple points, but they don't really think of, it's not just every now and then you're going to just shake a bit. Mm-hmm. There's going to be situations where that's going to cause a problem. Just like gambling addiction is going to cause a problem in your life. That's why it's an addiction. You're not just somebody who gambles occasionally.
Absolutely. I think that.
And you're not but it's like, you're not like Han Solo going, never tell me the odds and going through that asteroid field.
Right.
You're like, yeah, that was a really dumb thing to do, but you just had to do it because that's...
You're actionate.
Yeah.
Because what if you had won?
Adrenaline.
Yeah. That's it. Because that's the important thing to you is that risk.
I was going to say, I think that actually is the definition of addiction. It's something, an action that you take even though it's detrimental or it interferes with your regular
life. Yeah, I think that's pretty close.
I think I remember I used to be a smoker back in the day. And
I remember that.
And I missed a bus, an important bus that I had to catch be on time for a meeting or something because I was having a cigarette. Mm, yeah. And I caught the next bus, and I remember thinking on the bus, like, crap, yeah, that's the very definition of addiction.
It's something that kind of...
Hold on, smoking's addictive?
Right. And that was when I realized.
Yeah.
And then 3 years later, I quit.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like, yeah, anything, you know?
Somebody who's addicted to danger. Mm-hmm. And it's not like you're necessarily just that rogue who, I'm going to do something that's
dangerous.
But
I could take the bridge, but it's more fun to swing.
Right. But it's not like, there is no, I could take the bridge. You're like, no, I'm going to do it this way.
Yeah.
Because that's the dangerous way. And I need that. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear about an adrenaline junkie, and that's an overused term.
Yeah.
But you actually need that adrenaline.
Yeah.
In your system, like a junkie needs a drug.
And there's actually people who have a sincere adrenaline addiction, they actually receive physiological problems. They get shakes if they don't do those kinds of actions.
And the world just seems dead around them. No, I mean, that would be tough to play. Everything just seems pale and gray around me. You just play a very boring guy.
Not necessarily. But, do you remember that speedster that you're talking about from the X-Men?
He said, Quicksilver.
Yes. Yeah. He said, everything is like waiting in line at the bank for me. I think Adrenaline Junkie would look at it in a very similar light. This world is so boring. And so play him as someone who is irritated or irritating whenever he's not in combat or in
Absolutely, yep. Yeah. And always trying to get to the point where they are doing it, even if it's endangering everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the danger with playing that is, if you were playing that character as a player, I would say... try to steer the story or try to steer your other players or characters towards that situation rather than just sitting back when you're not in combat and being a douchebag. No, because I could see like the person who, like the speedster who equates waiting in line or equates regular existence to waiting in line, like if you just sit back and then kind of don't use your speed or don't kind of gear the story or try and steer people towards that, you just sit back and say, no, this is boring. Mm-hmm. No, this is boring. Everyone else is going to get really irritated with you.
That's something that I think we're going to bring up later on in the episode as well, is that you got to be careful in playing an addicted character because it can become really annoying to the other players if you're not careful with it.
Yeah. Well, I would just say, try and like be proactive. Mm-hmm.
As a player. Absolutely. And it's same with the gambling person. Don't just sit there and wait for somebody to go, I betcha.
Yeah, and then jump on
I bet you won't do that. And you go, oh, I bet you I will. Mm-hmm. Because it's not the other player's responsibility to make you roleplay your character. You're the one that picked that that addiction. So you should be proactive in trying to make bets, for example, with other players. This is perhaps certainly not something that you might not readily think of being an addiction or a compulsion, but I'm thinking like Like some games, again, like Savage Worlds, where they have a hindrance, mm-hmm. or GURPS will have different vows, but like being a hero mm-hmm. can be an addiction or a compulsion.
Absolutely.
If we look at an example from a Game of Thrones, the first book, so I don't think I'm doing too many spoilers, but Ned Stark, he's a very honorable guy, mm-hmm. To the point where it's a detriment. Mm-hmm. And you could argue that he's almost addicted to being honorable. Mm-hmm. I don't know, perhaps it's a bit of a stretch, but if you start to think of things like that as an addiction, it might help you role-play it a little bit better. It's not like you're going to be a hero just because nine times out of ten everybody plays a hero. Yeah. You're going to be a hero to the point where it's going to cause problems. Mm-hmm. Because if you want to take that disadvantage, if you want to take that detriment, then you got to get into situations like Ned Stark with his honor,
yeah.
where you've just backed yourself into a corner, and now your family's in danger,
danger, yeah.
and now that's a detriment.
Yeah, imagine a D&D fantasy hero who has a family, you know? His wife is constantly saying, don't go out there, you might die like that.
Well, who's like Spider-Man. Spider-Man, he wants to live a normal life. You know, he loves MJ
Good example.
Yeah, but why? Why does there was that one instance where his Uncle Ben gets killed, mm-hmm. and he's got that, with great power comes great responsibility.
Right.
So.
Sorry. My friend, there was an article way back when it was a fake article where 30 midgets took on a lion to see who would, it wasn't real, but.
Yeah, that was funny.
I remember my friend said that, with little power comes little responsibility. Sorry about laughing to that, but.
No, I can see that.
But back to Spider-Man. Why does he go out every night? He is compelled. Yeah. Why does Batman go out every night? He's compelled to do it. And he destroys every relationship he has. There was one Detective Comics annual. And it was about to... I'm not going to get the details exactly right. It's like a proverb. But it's like the monkey who grabs the banana mm-hmm. in the hole and tries to take his hand back out. But he can't because he's got the banana. And the banana won't fit. But he won't let go of the banana.
Yeah.
And the guy said, maybe it was Ra's al Ghul, but he says to Batman, when you understand that, when you're in a situation where you can understand that proverb, talk to me.
Yeah.
And then basically, very quickly.
Of course.
It happens, and he figures out, I'm kind of trapped.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't have a steady relationship with anybody.
Yeah. The Christopher Nolan movie did that really well, where Bruce Wayne has his birthday party, and all of his friends are all around at the party. And because Ra's al Ghul shows up, he has to kick them all out because he has to be Batman. So the way he does it is he pretends he's drunk and gives a speech that insults everyone and mm-hmm. kicks them out of the house. And people are going saying how horrible you are, but he has to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. They have to be the hero.
Yeah.
And you could have, there's different concepts of hero. There's the self-sacrifice. So you could even be, you can't be a happy hero.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sacrifice everything in your life. That's somehow your concept. Mm-hmm. It's like a derangement that a hero can't be happy. They have to sacrifice everything. And so you destroy all your relationships you just want to be alone. You have to be. Yeah. You want those relationships. Mm-hmm. But your idea of a hero and your compulsion is that you have to be alone. You have to suffer.
Well, isn't it kind of like I don't know if this would be like addiction or compulsion, but isn't it kind of like the classic hero where he says, no, to whoever it is, you can't get involved with me because doing that puts you at danger, and I can't have you do that.
Absolutely.
So, the person who kind of burns all the bridges around them just so that other people can't be used as tools in the villain's plot. Like, I don't know if that would be a compulsion or an addiction,
but that would
be more like the self-sacrificing hero.
I guess so. And, I know we're being really broad, but I would almost see that. Is that guy's trying to be... That individual is trying to be nice or trying to protect their loved ones because they have loved ones. Mm-hmm. I would see if you're looking at it as more of an addiction or a compulsion is they just destroy just because that's what they think they have to do mm-hmm. and they just can't control it. Mm-hmm. So I like if you look at Ned Stark, he actually loves his family immensely
mm-hmm.
and any sane person would have been like, get everybody out of the city before you put your wheels in the motion. Hey, how about don't warn her?
Yeah, right.
Don't warn Cersei Lannister.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you could argue that that's a compulsion because if we're saying
he's doing it at a detriment.
We don't want to.
No, I was going to say, but if you say a compulsion is there is no other choice for you.
Yeah.
Like we said, this is something, and in the story, right, the kind of for Ned, the option of just sort of saying no or going along with it. Like, that didn't even really cross his mind.
Mm-hmm.
To him, there kind of was only one path.
That's true, yeah. The
one of honor that,
in the dungeon,
like, that he took.
Your children are going to die. You're willing to sacrifice them for your honor. And that was it was almost like that was the first time that really occurred
right.
to him.
Like, kind of like up until that point, like, he was on the rails. To him, there was no other choice, and...
Yeah. You know, the first time you mentioned that, Lyle, about addicted to being the hero, I actually took it in a different way, in that the person addicted to fame.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, not only doing heroic things, or maybe even not doing heroic things, but being viewed as a hero. Have to get on TV or in the papers or something like that.
Yeah, I thought before about it would be kind of weird, but could you be, like, addicted to being humble or, like, humility? Because, like, on the one hand, yeah, people... People do actually help other people or do good deeds.
I can see that, like, as a Buddhist priest or something. Like,
but
that,
I mean, like,
that
that's the real altruistic one. But then...
Do they have to be altruistic about it?
No, but what I'm saying is, like, people who help other people for the recognition.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, like the philanthropist who donates a lot of money
mm-hmm.
and then kind of feels good about themselves because of all the publicity and... You know, that the fame they're getting
a philosophical discussion. Why do people give to charity?
Well,
But I can see that as sort of being an addiction.
Okay, but how would that come up in a game? Like, how could that be... Basically, what we're talking about is for our game definition. How can it be used against the player?
Mm.
They've picked my addiction as being humble. And if you slide that character sheet across the table to the game master and they're like, huh?
Oh, that's actually, I think...
Yeah, my addiction is I'm a philanthropist. Right. Now, the game master's like, okay, you've got to donate all your money because that feels good to you, so you can't buy, you know, upgrade your armor, upgrade your equipment.
Philanthropist is fine for that. How about being humble in that if you save a building full of children, of course, you're going to be famous. People want you on the news. They want to interview you. If you're addicted to being humble, then you have to escape that. So now you're talking about having a secret identity or doing everything in secret.
Yeah, or I was thinking, maybe not so much, maybe I said being humble is the wrong thing, but in terms of, like, helping people, right, sort of helping people for that rush that you get, well then, yeah, the game master
Yeah, that's
could,
like being a hero, yeah, like being addicted.
It's sort of a flip side, not a flip side, but very similar to being a hero, in that the game master can throw you all these situations where,
you have to.
I mean, I guess a classic one would be, a very simple one would be, you know, pulling down a cat from a tree, right? You know, helping the old lady across the street, kind of, like I said, very simple, like, you essentially kind of would almost have to do those things because, you know, helping other people would make you feel good.
Some other ones along those lines, there's also revenge. Inigo Montoya, you killed my father, prepare to die.
Oh, yeah, the Count of Monte Cristo is a great revenge story. And, yeah, but that guy is, like, his life is now consumed.
He's an evil Batman.
Is he evil?
Well, he's not good.
Yeah, but whether or not the guy is evil or not, but basically... His whole life, all his energy now, is devoted to seeking revenge.
To the point where he can't have a normal life.
Right. So, again, sure, if somebody slides that character sheet across the table and it says addicted to revenge, then it definitely has to be things where the game master can use that against you. So you won't do anything unless it can somehow be linked to achieving revenge.
Yeah. No, I could see that. I could see that being a pretty, you know, compelling addiction. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you're off doing the main thrust of the story, and the game master drops a clue into, a little sidetrack. I mean, like, I know it would kind of ultimately, maybe not ultimately, split up the group, but the game master would have to work in some kind of story where you would have to go and do it and eventually get led back to the main adventure. But, go ahead, what were you going to say, Lyle?
I'd be a little bit concerned about something like that because it could lead to the
person essentially giving up their character sheet.
No, basically the person hijacking the entire story because they've created a character we're saying revenge. Now you could say, I don't know, are they addicted to revenging all slights or something like that? I guess, but if it's like some sort of like the Count of Monte Cristo or the Princess Bride example where they're addicted to this revenge or one person or series of people, then they either have just got some free points for writing that down on the character sheet, or then the game master has kind of have to incorporate a story around revenge, and then what are the other players do.
The Princess Bride is a pretty good example of that. They go on, they do a lot of stuff the first
time. But again, our definition, if you want to say you're addicted to it, how can it be used on a regular basis? Because addiction is not an occasional thing. I mean, if you're occasionally addicted to gambling, then you're not really addicted. Mm-hmm. Like, it means when you go to Las Vegas, you gamble a lot. But if you only go, like, once every 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's, maybe.
So how could the revenge thing be used against you?
Just brainstorming here. Yep. Then, again, with the Princess Bride, the guy who killed his father, he had 6 fingers on his right hand.
Yes.
Imagine if every person you meet, you have to check their right hand.
Yeah, that's like, I know where he's going. I know where he's going with
people's right hands. What if it's a birthmark, say, on their shoulder or something?
Right.
People wear shirts all the time. Yeah. If there's anyone who have the slightest suspicion of it, you're going to be constantly looking at their shoulder, trying to get behind them or something. That could be pretty unnerving to a lot of people.
No, but I can see that working because you're kind of screwing yourself over to check this thing. And
if you have some reason to suspect that this is the person, you'll stop at nothing to get at them. Even if it's not the person, it's just some strange suspicion. There's a hindrance in Savage Worlds that I thought was pretty interesting called Death Wish. And it's not so much that your hero wants to die. In fact, that's not it at all. It's where whatever it is that is kind of your goal, you will stop at nothing. Your life is meaningless compared to doing this.
Yeah, well, a slight tangent. Like, kind of doesn't the death wish thing kind of mean, like, you're not planning for a life after you get this event?
Exactly. So it doesn't matter whether you win or lose as long as you do this thing.
Well, okay. Yeah, I suppose, but
you're right, Lyle. That's kind of going away from something that you have a compulsion to do.
It's almost like, just to get into specifics, the expiration date. Or sorry, Death Wish is like an expiration date. On your character, really, yeah. It's, and I'm gonna touch on them a little bit more when we talk about, like, physical addiction, but you look at the Rift's juicer. Mm-hmm. And when I first looked at that, character, the occupational character class, OCC,
yeah.
And they have like a lifespan of like 3 years because the drugs will destroy their body. And at first I'm like, whoa, who would want to play that? You're gonna die in 3 years. But then you're like, who plays a game that long, exactly. Especially these days?
Yeah, I saw that when I was like 14 years old. I'm like, oh, that's awesome, because my characters never live anyway.
Yeah, so you're just like, okay, yeah, and when he dies, then I just make a new character. Yeah. And it's just like, but while they're alive, Juicer is slightly different because you're addicted to a drug, but if you have a death wish, while you're alive, unless the game master goes, okay, you're the...
And
you can achieve your goal right now.
Yeah,
and
session two, here's your goal.
Yeah.
It's kind of like I forget what system is from, the hindrance of being sterile. It's like, really? Like, how would that affect the game?
If it's a game like Vampire where, you know, the ability to make other vampires can play a big part of your game, but if you're playing like Vampire as if you're just dark superheroes or dark supervillains, I guess I wouldn't really need to use dark there. Anyway, vampiric supervillains. Then sterile means nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
And again, I think it just gets back to the... I guess I'm harping on this, is if the addiction really means nothing to the game, then don't take it, and the game master shouldn't give him any points for that.
Yeah.
And if revenge is going to hijack the game, then don't do it. But if somehow you're going, oh yeah, okay, like, there's some birthmark or whatever, and it's like, he is always going to mistrust everybody he meets until he sees his back.
Yeah.
And that means, like, these very beneficial NPCs, until they're in a steam bath together, he's not going to trust them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's a pretty good way to work in the revenge thing.
Yeah.
So, I guess before we move on a little bit, do you think the onus would be on the player, provide the GM with ways that they could work in this addiction? Or do you think the onus would be more on the GM to say, tell me how this works? Show me you're not just getting free character points by choosing this.
I think as a player gives the GM that thing, this is what my addiction is and this is how it affects my character, that's great. If the player doesn't do that, then I think the GM should ask him the questions. How does this affect your character?
Okay, here's a trendy addiction. Like, we're hearing a lot in the media.
At least so it sounds from our hits online.
Yeah. And this is for our sexy vibrator fans. But sex addiction. Mm-hmm. So it seems like whenever a rich guy gets in trouble with his wife these days, suddenly he's
runs
sex
for Congress.
That too. After he spends a little stint in sex addict rehab.
Yeah, right.
Which consists of what?
I don't know.
A lot of sex, I imagine.
I guess. So. What, do they burn it? Do they burn it out of their system? Because if so, yes. Man, that addiction must suck.
Yeah,
it's like they give him like a you know, big box of cigars and put them in the closet until they get sick. You can have sex until you're sick.
Lock you in a room with a Swedish bikini model team. There you go. It's like, yeah.
Gentlemen, I have a problem.
I was like, is there a treatment facility around here? Because I think I might have a touch of that, too.
But is that a playable addiction? Now, people can quibble whether or not that's a real addiction. He watched the South Park episode with it. He's like, yeah, that's. I have no idea why a rich man would want to sleep with young women. that's just crazy. It must be an addiction. But obviously, it got them into trouble.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, so. I think it'd be a great one for a character. It depends on how far you want to take the game. Whether you actually want to get into sexual situations or not, that's entirely up to you and your GM. But ignoring that part of it, how about your hitting on women? Every time your player, I'm assuming your player is a male, right. Hitting on the opposite sex, every time your character comes...
Or the same sex, you were assuming they were heterosexual.
Yes, thank you all for right. that.
Let the Stop with your point. Assumptions.
where was I? Yes, any time you see someone who you are attracted to, and even if you're addicted to it, could be someone who you... That level of attraction could be a very low bar. Mm. Yeah, you can't stop yourself. You have to go and chat that person up. Yeah, imagine that even in the party, you know, where you're hitting on the rogue all the time or something like that.
Yeah, I was going to say I could. Sorry,
well put.
No, I was going to disagree, but I'll save it for the end of the episode.
I'll remember
but,
that your disagreeal is.
No, but sort of similar to you know Lyle's 30-second shutdown sequence, and we only have 20 seconds before you know we're in deep trouble. Mm-hmm. I could kind of see that. Sort of like a similar situation, like, okay, we got the information, it's time for us to go. It's like, oh, no, I'm not done talking to this person yet, you know? Or like, well, yeah, but we have to go now, or that person is, I guess to use like a fantasy thing, like, that person's way out of your league. It's really inappropriate for commoners to go talk to
Imagine
nobility.
Like,
but you have to.
Yeah, if you have like a real social stratification in the game, that would be really a really interesting angle. It would be the sex addiction.
Yeah.
They cause all this trouble, you know.
And it was hitting on a priest.
Yeah, or it could be both ways, right?
Yeah, like the noble, just anything.
They have to go slum it.
Yeah.
You know, and if that gets out, yeah, their reputation is ruined. Or
they're also in dangerous situations. They're going to, like, the Carbon Tavern just because.
I wonder, this might be off base, but it might be a useful thing for a group that has players that can't come all the time. If they have someone who's addicted to going off and doing something else, then it'd be a good excuse as to why they're not there on a certain day.
I guess,
just thinking of that.
It's kind of like you have to make it matter. If the addiction is being used only to explain why the other player isn't there for the session, I guess. But then, kind of like what we always say, like make it matter. It's it's not mattering. It's just being used as an excuse.
Yeah.
If you're also doing the addiction in game, and by that I mean when the player is there at the table, then that's great.
Yeah.
But if it's just, and such can't make it because they're addicted to sex.
Or they're
like, oh yeah, that's right, I forgot that he was addicted to sex.
Yeah, it's like, to go off the sex addiction, it's like, yeah, so-and-so is in the back room shooting up again.
Yeah.
And that's why they're not here. Then it's kind of like, doesn't really matter.
When they come, they have to play being high. Yeah.
Well, but see, I don't know.
Then that's making it in game, and then
if you force it on a person, but if the player doesn't want that for their character, then find something
what?
Else. Yeah. Whoa. When did I become a crack addict?
Sorry, you missed out last week. By the way, you're.
By the way, okay. Where do we start off? You're in a methadone clinic.
Oh, crap.
How did that happen?
Again?
You know?
Yeah, their stats are all like.
Yeah. Whoa.
Down because they shoot up every time they miss a session. It's like, all right, I'll come next time.
Yeah. All right. Uh-huh. But I guess that kind of brings what leads
what
it to, like...
Yeah, I know it logically leads into physical addiction.
But
I just want to... What about a love as an addiction? What's that song? Might as well say it. You're addicted to love.
Yeah.
But I think that could be... That could be used in certain...
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I think you're going to say the same thing. It's almost like a G-rated or PG-rated sex addiction.
Mm.
Isn't... Oh. No,
sorry, no. I was going to say a more narrow focus. Whereas now you've gone from sort of anybody is fair game to this one person.
But it can keep changing. Because you know how you say that some people are in love with being in love.
Oh yeah.
And
I
it just
I
means
that.
That concept, and they're a very romantic character. That doesn't mean they're a very faithful character or anything. Because it can change. Like you can fall in and out of love quite quickly.
What is that story? Cyrano.
The Bergerac?
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
The Long Nose?
Yeah. That kind of story where he's, that's him. He's addicted to love. That's his story.
Yeah. Basically, they fall in love very easily, and maybe they have a type, and that type could be used against them, not only with the NPCs, but the ultimate NPC, the antagonist. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be just their type, just what they're looking for, or the person that they're in love with, or whatever. So
That one, I would think that would be a little bit more on like the player side, in that the player would have to sort of find ways for the character to involve whoever they're currently in love with. You know, it'd be kind of like the character be like, oh, well, I know it's a secret meeting. Hope you don't mind. I invited Joanne. It's like, oh, God. Like, again? You know, who did you invite the last time? Like, there's supposed to be secret meetings.
No, that's
meeting.
Really good.
Don't tell Joanne will hear.
But it's always, yeah, but they'll have no secrets. You know, I can't keep secrets from Joanne. Yeah. And he's like, who's Joanne? And it's like, I thought it was Sarah. And he's like, well, Sarah was like last month.
Yeah. He's like, so, Joanne, you know. Did you wipe her memory? No. So she knows your I can't think. I'm drawing a blank on superhero names, but anyway. But I could see that being more on Nova Man, more on the player, right? Mm-hmm. I don't really know how the GM would do it, apart from
I think any addiction that you take should be. It's not just like, hey, here's the player's time. It should be something that can be used that can go both ways.
Absolutely.
Is it? I think yeah. First and foremost, it's a player's responsibility to give the game master ideas on how this addiction can be used against them or how it will kind of run in the game. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that's it. Mm-hmm. If they go, I mean, they may come up with something really lame, like they go, yeah, I'm addicted to being a hero. I always want to do the right thing. And the game master will kind of nod and, yeah, sure, great.
Yeah.
And they're going to go, yeah, this is really going to be used against you in ways that
absolutely.
You don't expect. Because in that, I think that will then also make it more fun for the player as well. So yeah, it's the player's responsibility first, but then it also should be broad enough that the game master could incorporate things where Sarah comes back as the main antagonist, and he's like, well, why did I fall out of love with her?
Mm.
And then he's like, oh, it just brings back memories why I loved her to begin with.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Joanne. Yeah. And Sarah, and they're like, dude, he's the bad, he's the bad guy. And like, well, she's not a guy, she's a lady, and a very special lady at that.
Very sexy.
Quality lady.
Either that or it's kind of like,
love is blind, like justice is blind. You know, who are we to say that she's bad? We are!
She killed all those people!
The children!
The orphanage she burned down. If that building had a mouth, it would tell you, she's wrong!
But sorry to interrupt that very natural segue, Wayne, but yeah.
Go on to physical addiction.
Going on to physical addiction, and we could argue whether or not sex addiction is physical or psychological, so we kind of bridged it, hedged our bets. So, yeah, physical addiction, of course, that's probably the things that people think of more. They think of a movie like Train Spotting, and you see how heroin, and I think that's, I've never been on heroin, so I can't say, so I'm assuming that everything you said was correct, but I thought that painted a pretty good picture of what it was like for a heroin addict in that, if it wasn't great, they wouldn't do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, that's your life now. Mm-hmm. Your life is not other things, and heroin is pretty cool. It's your life is heroin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it will destroy your life. So, like, physical addictions, I think, could be really, really, really good to incorporate. Mm-hmm. And where you go with that?
That's hard, because this... It's same as psychological addictions. It's
like,
there's
such great stories told. There's a demon in a bottle, like Iron Man is an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And how that destroys his life. And he's a hero. Yeah. And he's still got to function.
Absolutely.
And do things that the average person can't do, but then he's also compelled to just drink. And if you had somebody who was a drug addict, or the game Vampire, so we talk about, is blood an addiction to them?
See, that one I think I take a little bit of issue with, because it's a matter of survival.
Right.
They will die without blood, so it is like food.
But the thing is,
a heroin addict think of heroin as anything but.
Because that's the thing about a physical addiction, is that they get those physical withdrawal symptoms, which feels like you're dying.
Yeah.
Well, here's how I would split the difference with, I guess, blood. Yeah, absolutely. It's their sustenance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they feel like they're going to die. They actually would die if they don't drink it.
Right.
But you could have a person, a vampire, who's addicted to blood. So that means they need to drink even when they're like, have a full blood pool, or when they don't actually need it for sustenance.
Yeah.
So that can cause a lot of problems, because drinking blood can cause problems, because, if people find out or people catch you, so they're going to be drinking not only more often or more frequently, or perhaps they're not just drinking what they need, so they're basically killing people because they're consuming all the blood that's in them.
Come think of it, in a lot of movies, they do that a lot, where vampires are really, they're all about the blood.
And now, I know they do have the frenzy mechanic.
Yeah.
So this would be, if we want to do mechanical, they have an even tougher time resisting frenzy as soon as they taste blood.
I don't know if I would do that. I was thinking, like, obviously, like, food's not an addiction for people, but...
Well, some people say they're addicted to food.
That's fine, but, I mean, okay, all right. You couldn't see the hand raise, all right. But what about, like, a vampire with bulimia? Like, or, like, if you're addicted to feeding, wouldn't you feed until you were full and then go vomit somewhere so that... Well, not necessarily, but you could...
Sorry, are you talking about feeding as in just a vampire sense?
Yeah, sort of vampire sense.
Or addicted to eating, because there's different types of disorders.
Yeah, I realize there's different types of disorders.
Bulimia is just one of them.
Yeah. I realize
that's more of a psychological
issue. I'm kind of narrowing it down to, like, the vampire.
As opposed to addiction, which...
As opposed to physiological addiction.
All right, my point was, like a vampire could feed...
Yes.
And then actually burn... Actually, I think I read this somewhere in one of the vampire books. Then, like, purposefully... mechanically burn off all their blood points.
Yeah.
Just so that they can feed again.
Sure. I mean, there's different ways to do it.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I like that, actually.
You know, run around the park using celerity. Or, I mean, kind of a bad example, but like...
Well, wonky example, but I actually think that is a really good idea.
And then, rather than just making them more prone to frenzy, it's like, and you're back down to a couple points again, which means you're hungry.
Time to feed.
Yep.
Yeah, it's going with this kind of addiction, even if it's a minor addiction that's somewhat culturally acceptable, for example, smoking, or, like you said, drinking with Iron Man, you know, that can carry big weights on the character. I'm speaking from experience as a smoker. I mean, granted, it's okay that you smoke. People don't mind, as long as it's in the right place, but if you're in a place that's not, you have to step outside for a few minutes. Even if it's only a few minutes of time, you might miss out on an important conversation. You always smell like cigarettes, and that's that might affect a lot of NPCs to have a negative reaction to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, you gain contacts that way. Like, smoking was actually oddly beneficial in college because the kind of smoking area, there are a lot of older guys in the film department who also smoke, so I made a lot of friends that way. Yeah, even something as minor and mundane as being addicted to cigarettes can have a very big impact on your character. You never have as much money as the other people.
Yeah, exactly. You know, kind of like what you said about, like, stepping out. We talked before about how kind of eating is often overlooked in role-playing, especially in fantasy. If one of the characters smokes or is a smoker, instead of just saying, kind of essentially pausing the story while the character goes out to smoke, no, the action keeps rolling. And sorry, you're just not there for those 2 or 3 minutes. Is kind of not a way to, like, punish the person, but to kind of make the addiction matter.
Yeah.
You know? Like, so the other characters are there.
It depends on what the action is, because I think if...
Well, obviously, I don't mean stop a combat because the guy drops his gun and
my action's going to be to go out and step out for a smoke.
No, I was thinking like
sorry, Dragon, hold on just a second.
Right, I'm thinking more like the social interactions with like
yeah,
like sorry, thanks for that. You know, like oh, all my smokes are now burnt. But I'm thinking like interacting with an NPC. Perhaps the GM turns the guy and says, yeah.
But a smoker or an addict would also then like kind of time their fix.
Mm-hmm.
Around things. So, for example, they might smoke before combat.
Mm, yeah.
But then that means they're stopping and they're like, are you ready? And you're like, no, I just need this. Or cocaine has, or and I believe heroin as well, so an opiate, have properties to kind of deaden pain and stuff.
How long the chemicals in your system, that's how long it is until you need
So you could actually be using it as a justification. It's like, it's like, I don't feel as much, so I'm more alive, you know. Mm. I need this.
How popular was Milk of the Poppy in Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
As a game master, you could kind of use that to make the player's life more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Like the guy who always takes a smoke break at 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. or like after a certain time. Like,
after a meal. A lot of smokers.
Make that time when the action happens so that the smoker like misses the beginning of whatever's going to happen. You know, like make it kind of like a coincidence or, the guy who smokes before combat.
So just to get mechanical then, sure, fine. You finish a nice meal and bam, people burst through the door, give me your money or life, and he hasn't had a cigarette.
No, I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking more the terms of like, Joe is not in the room when the action starts. Because he stepped out for his smoke break.
Right.
Okay, if he is in the room and he needs a smoke, do you do something mechanically with that?
If he's in the room and he needs a smoke,
Yeah, because...
That's just where you're going.
Yeah, because, I mean, you could time it every time he, like, steps up for a smoke, something happens.
I agree, that would get pretty cheesy.
Yeah.
Right? It's like,
But, so these random bad guys have know my
smoking habits. Yeah,
he was waiting outside. All right. Actually, that could be pretty interesting. If he's a smoker, like he's maybe the best fighter in the group, and they know that, they wait until he goes out to have a cigarette, and that's when they attack.
Well, they sure. Like, I mean,
make a trail.
We talk about every single time.
Yeah. Addiction for NPCs. Of course, there's a classic. You know, the guard. You know, takes a
break, yeah.
takes a smoke break at this time.
Yeah.
And sometimes addiction. Yeah, like as Wayne is alluding to, can be like a routine.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody's got a routine, that can be something to use against them.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I guess getting back to like the combat thing, I don't, depending on what kind of addiction it is, like if it's something like nicotine or smoking, I probably wouldn't apply mechanical penalties
I'd
to
agree.
The character.
Yes.
I would just make it sort of...
Make them roleplay being irritable or something.
Irritable, but then maybe after the combat ends...
Well, then who suffers, really?
Then
the other players are like, oh, great, yeah.
I got to do with Crotchety McGee over here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now he's got a license to be a dink, and I didn't get any bonus points for his addiction.
Mm. I would say like after the combat
don't you
is
get,
over.
Like if you don't have a cigarette, don't you get like headaches or something like that?
I never did. I don't think so.
Okay.
I suppose some people do, but
if they were addicted to a hard drug, then I would start applying.
Oh, definitely.
Like,
yeah.
Definitely. You get kind of jittery.
Or alcohol.
Or alcohol. You can't concentrate.
Somebody's like a functional alcoholic. They actually need alcohol to function.
Mm-hmm.
They function better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If it was a minor addiction...
But don't drink, kids.
The kids aren't listening. They already tagged this as mature.
All right.
So,
don't
drink,
yeah,
adults.
<that's> fine.
I think I would make it clear to the character after the fact that, yeah, you have to do this thing now. Your body's telling you, you're off schedule now. You really want that cigarette now.
That's a very good way of going about it, saying maybe you haven't smoked when you needed to, so at the next opportunity, you have to go and smoke.
Yeah, and not like you have to, as in I will make you do this, but your body is telling you, like you missed your normally scheduled cigarette break.
Yeah.
And I think about physical addiction is like you need like some outside, I guess you could be addicted to pain, but like if we're looking at like substances, like alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, then you need some sort of outside source for your addiction. So the game master can mess with that. So... Yeah, in the fight, all your cigarettes get crushed or wet from your blood.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, when your cigarettes get wet
blood.
From your blood. Yeah,
man,
sure.
I hate when that happens. Jeez.
You can make it more difficult instead of like, okay, guys, now you're gonna talk about what happened. Chris, you gotta have a smoke. Because
then
again, is that really much of a disadvantage? Is like one guy lights up. I think there's different ways you can play with it. It's like it's dark and. Really, you shouldn't be lighting that cigarette because then people can see you, but you gotta light that cigarette.
Yeah, there was
or
that if you smoke in the dark, you can still see, but it lowers your night vision.
Well, yeah, I can see that.
Light in front
I don't know if it was a movie. I think it's just fact.
I saw it in a movie.
Okay.
Yeah, it was some guys were doing a stakeout.
Oh, they talk about three on a match being unlucky because they could see you light a match.
Yeah.
And you light one cigarette. Not another, but if you got three on a match, by that time...
Mm-hmm. They've homed in on you.
Yeah, homed in on where you are and they shoot you. Apparently it's from World War I.
Cool.
That's one explanation for three on a match.
So just light one and shake it out.
Right. So you can't have three players addicted to...
No,
but there's different things. Again, back to the original point,
right.
You could have it where they don't have the cigarettes that they need to now smoke, so now they have to like really go away.
Yeah.
Or if it's... Like heroin, of course, that's going to be worth more points because there's more disadvantages.
Absolutely.
If you don't have it, because it's also a lot harder to find.
And also for heroin, but for other drugs like LSD or like alcohol or something, it affects your behavior as well.
Yes.
Yeah. We haven't really gotten into like behavioral stuff.
I'm just wondering if LSD is physically addictive, but let's say you could write it in. I mean, we've written down you could write revenge as an addiction, so obviously pretty broad.
Eating.
So. Yeah.
Eating is an addiction. People
I know. I suffer from it. I get off the cigarettes and now I can't
Dude,
get off
I
the
go
cake.
Through I go through physical withdrawal symptoms when I do not eat. You're
know,
telling
right?
me that's not the physical
I feel
addiction?
Weak and tired and so hungry.
Yeah.
And you can count my ribs.
Yeah.
But I think I can't say I've met somebody on heroin that knowingly, but yeah, I think that also affects your personality, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Aren't you kind of, again, if Trainspotting taught me anything, you're kind
twitchy
of...
Twitchy and...
No, that's when you're not off it.
Oh, I see. Oh, when you're actually on it. I think on it is just like an absolute euphoric thing.
Yeah.
So you just kind of lay back on the couch and go, yeah.
Yeah. That's actually, that'd be a really tough addiction to play because you're either in the midst of euphoria, right, or you're waiting for your next fix.
I was just saying, yeah, heroin is that. It's the ultimate high and the ultimate low.
Right, mm-hmm. So it just consumes you. I'm wondering if that would make it, although it's very easy to see all the drawbacks, mm-hmm, that come with having a character addicted to heroin. Can you play it? But I suppose rock stars are addicted to heroin and have some functional life until they die.
Yeah.
I talked about a juicer earlier in the episode, mm-hmm, and playing somebody where they're addicted to some sort of performance enhancements, and just to kind of harken back to our last episode, cyborgs, they could be addicted to cybernetics, or they could be addicted, in the case of a juicer, to...
Oh, that's a great example there, yeah, I like that.
To performance-enhancing drugs, which, of course, keeps them alive as well, so... But it also burns out their body. So, those could be interesting ways to play, or interesting things to play with, and it kind of gets into this anime you're talking about, where the person is... Remember, you know, they were super strong, and, mm-hmm, you know. Yeah, you could do... a fantasy example is maybe somebody gets a potion of giant strength.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And they drink it once, and now it's not like, wow, it would be nice to be as strong as a giant again. It's like, I always want to be as strong as a giant. How can I go back to being like a regular person? And he feels so weak. I mean, it's like it could actually fall into physical addiction, because it's like a physical withdrawal symptom, and that you feel very, very weak. You actually feel as strong as you did normally, but it just feels weak. It's like, how can I
go back?
Yeah, and it's like, I can't even get out of bed. Yeah. It takes so much effort to get out of bed.
I never thought about that, about like the physiological feeling of potions in D&D. Mm. What a great angle. That's cool.
Or even, you have rings, cybernetics, that's the SF way to deal with it, and probably other ways to deal with it as well, biotech and things like that.
Drugs.
Yeah.
Let's not forget popular drugs.
Drugs are like the magic of the real world. Okay, don't do drugs. Don't do drugs, kids.
No kids are listening. I said that, remember?
Adults, you do.
Don't do drugs. We are not endorsing drugs. Anyway, but yeah, like magic items and other things like that could not only be like a psychological addiction, but you could actually really play it where it's a physical addiction. If he doesn't have that belt of storm giant strength, he doesn't get out of bed.
I don't need my sword. I don't have my magic sword. I can't fight.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it could be. It's like when he tries to strike somebody, it's not cutting through things like butter. So as far as he's concerned, it's not cutting through things. Yeah. It's worthless.
Yeah. What is this crap?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be really cool.
Yeah, and it's not like, it's not even like, oh, you know, it's either +5 magic sword or nothing. Mm. It's like, no, seriously, guys, I can't fight with this. And you're like, but you're a master swordsman. I was like, yeah, but it's just something wrong with this sword. It's just, I'm not strong enough. I need that edge.
Yeah. Would you ask a chef to cook with a spoon?
Yeah.
If he was making soup, maybe. No, I was thinking, like, it wouldn't even... Sorry, couldn't resist. It wouldn't even have to be, like, a magic sword, but if you get, like, systems that have, like, equipment bonuses...
Oh, that's what I just said before. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, but...
It was at the beginning of the episode, I'll believe it.
Yeah, if you have, like, wow, this is, like, a really high-quality sword... Yeah, it cuts through stuff with butter, not because it's magic, just because it's so frickin'ly well made. And then, what is this rusty piece of garbage you gave me? Mm. It's like, oh, well, that's a good sword. It's like, for me, like, a child. Yeah, don't swing swords, kid.
Magical powers, something like that. Addicted to the arcana.
Yeah, I mean, somebody could be addicted.
The feel of the magic energy passing through, maybe that's an addictive thing, so you have to cast spells every so often.
But absolutely. It's like, it gets back to, you know, when you got a hammer, every problem's a nail. And it's just like, I don't want to solve any problems, or I actually don't want to do anything unless it's through magical means.
Yeah.
Because you could get like a physical rush, or
you end up burning some of your points in Savage World, you have the power points. Right. Then you just burn those points because of the feeling. And when you're in a situation where you need to cast that fireball. Oh, crap. You're
absolutely, points, yeah. Yeah, PowerPoint system would really lend itself well to that.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. But again, like, if you look at classic D&D or it's... The spin-offs, like Pathfinder and that. It's like, I've cast that spell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got a certain number of spells you can cast a day. And I cast them. Yeah,
you want to use them all? Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like, why would I do things any other way when I can use magic to do it?
Yeah. But I guess when there's that, and that's really good, but also if you have the physical outside thing, again, getting back to the juicer or the cybernetics or the drugs or the magic potions, and because that can be taken away, I think there's a lot that can be done with that. Or potions are just consumables, so you're always, you're actually like a junkie.
Yeah.
I mean, you're very much.
I need that scroll.
And again, it's like a G-rated, PG-rated junkie. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I'm addicted to. You know, hopefully nobody will see that very thin wall between the Storm Giant Strength Potion junkie and the heroin junkie. When the mother walks in, goes, nah, come on, give me, yeah, set me up, hook me up.
Oh, come on, how much for that potion? It's like, potion of what? Storm Giant Strength?
I needs it.
We got a new form of Storm Giant Strength. Crystals that you snort. It's like,
oh, yeah!
You can smoke this potion. Cool.
Again, that's actually a pretty cool idea.
And I'm just going to broaden it out a bit, but... Yeah, we always talk about there's magic in the world. So how would that really shape society? Why don't wizards control society? But it's like, if you have magic potions in the world and people like to buy magic potions, why wouldn't there be like shooting galleries or the equivalent of opium dens or just really bad neighborhoods or really bad, like kind of like these little ghettos well, of course, you know, medieval towns and that have ghettos and stuff like that, but, yeah, it's a problem because of all the junkies that gravitate towards
maybe
that.
Maybe that's how the wizards control the society.
Okay, yeah, that could be. You could put them into charge.
They're the drug lords.
Yeah. No, that'd be interesting.
Potion pushers.
Or, if you did the flip, why aren't they in control? Because
they're all junkies.
Yeah, they're so busy being consumed by their own addictions.
Oh, yeah, it'd be kind of funny. Do you really want to go and seek out the wizards for this? I mean, come on, man. They're all
wizards. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I could see that, yeah. Some guy walks down the street in the medieval fantasy world, opens up his cloak with all these vials.
I said even like Cheech and Chong is like a mage like that.
Yeah, a lot of times then we think of like
levitation, man.
You know, you go to the magic shop and of course the wizard is selling you the magic, but then it's like maybe the guy, no, you don't touch the stuff. We don't use the potions ourselves, dude.
See the coin. Come on.
Yeah, it's just like the non magical people are pretty much in charge of the magic trade because once magic guys get into it, they just get consumed by it. There's a lot of different things that can be done with a...
addicted to magic.
Yeah, and then using like different things as a metaphor for illegal drugs. Yeah,
if you don't want to go the illegal drug route.
Yeah. But again, why not? So, yeah, we did talk about crossing the line, and we've touched on that a little bit in the episode, but yeah, what are some things that... We obviously looked at, there's a lot of different ways addiction can be incorporated into a game, and I guess... But what are some things to watch out for? Like, Chris, you had some concerns.
Well, just that you got to be careful because playing a character who is addicted to something or under the influence of a drug can be really annoying to the other players. You know, if you're constantly foiling whatever adventures that you might be going on because you have to go out and get your fix, or, for example, we said people who are addicted to cigarettes who don't have a chance to smoke, they might become irritable and mouthy. And it's not as if that should be used as a free license to play your character as an asshole.
Yeah.
Or I think you said before in something about people pretending to be drunk.
Yeah. You know? I had forgotten about that one.
Yeah, kind of like nerds.
Yeah, I'm drunk, right?
Nerds pretending to be drunk. Yeah, I can see that player getting really annoying.
Yeah. On one hand, it's a valid thing to roleplay that experience, but please be cognizant of how it affects the other people.
And I think like just like addiction can consume an individual, I think somebody playing an addicted person can kind of consume the game.
Absolutely.
And players... playing somebody with an addiction should remember it's a game for everybody. It's not an intervention for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like your addiction is now the story. And that's where my reservations for the revenge addiction was, we've now made the entire story about Mr. Addicted here.
Yeah.
Or Ms. Addicted. So, yeah, that would be something I'd be worried about. And of course, the classic thing is, and I think it's like when you're introducing something that, you know, it's a little bit
touchy.
You have to make sure that people know that it's going to be a part of the game.
Yeah.
So if you were going to make illegal drugs a big part of the game, or at least be on the table, then people should be aware of that and that it could come up. And if somebody wants to make their addiction a secret, that's fine. Then the game master can then take the onus on themselves and say, you know, I just want to make sure that everybody's aware that this game's quite open.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to deal with drug addiction and alcoholism, maybe, because, you know, the person's a heroin addict, and just to kind of obfuscate that a bit.
Right.
So make sure everybody's cool with that. And we also have to bear in mind is, like, you know, acting can look like wish fulfillment to some people.
Mm-hmm.
So if the mother walks in and sees, like, her kid playing with some people and then playing a junkie.
Sitting in a corner, like, doing
it doesn't seem like that person is, like, acting like Johnny Depp or Ewan McGregor. It looks like, you know, this has become a gateway drug to actual gateway drugs to heroin. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was going to say, this is probably one of the first topics we've dealt with where the actual player's real life history could affect the game. Because if you actually do have someone who was an alcoholic or is a recovering alcoholic or actually was possibly a drug addict, you probably don't want to have that in the game.
No, I would agree, because if you watch, advertising can be pretty sophisticated, and product placement can have an alarming effect on people. Mm-hmm. And you see, like, people drinking whiskey and having a good time, you know, like when you watch something like Mad Men, I'm sure some people have, you know, started drinking a little bit more whiskey.
He said that. he went out and bought whiskey after his first episode of Mad Men.
Yeah, because you watch it, it's part of their life, and it's like, hey, that's when they unwind, they relax, they have some rye or whatever. Yeah, I think I'm sure Canadian Club sales shot up a bit after Mad Men. And it's the same. It's like, even though you're not seeing the physical representation of a beer or, you know, heroin or hard liquor or whatever, or even smoking, somebody's always talking about it and talking about it and talking about it, and it's keeping that in your mind. And if you've, you know, had quite a struggle and you're on some 12-step program, having somebody talking about it and having fun talking about alcohol, then there's some bad things happening, but it's all lovable. I can see that.
Quitting,
definitely
the hardest thing was to stop thinking about it.
So if you got people around you kind of talking it up, I could see that being a problem. Or it could even be,
and then maybe you need those layers, and it's like, all right, guys, somebody wants to play an addictive character, and they slide it across, and it's, you know, alcohol, and you know that somebody's a secret alcoholic or whatever. Maybe it's you.
Yeah.
Then it's like, how about you make it cybernetics?
Yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah, it's like, I don't really want to do that. Yeah. How about, or even do some of the psychological ideas, and it's like, you know, you're playing this hero. Think about how that is addictive. Mm. So addiction, I think we've talked about a lot of different ways that you can use it in a game. Of course, with a topic like this, you always got to make sure that people are okay with that.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's probably for, just like this episode, for mature audiences only.
In other words, not us.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Although, gosh, I would really like to use that that magic potion thing and drop that into any fantasy.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's enough of a veneer that it kind of hides.
I wonder.
That is heroin. All right. Well, we'll try that. And of course, like our standard advice with anything that you're adding to your game, if you're going to add it, do something with it.
Absolutely. Make it matter.
Yeah, make it matter. And again, addiction. A guy has that character sheet and he writes addiction down. You better make sure that that's going to interfere with their lives in a negative way, because that's what addiction is.
Because otherwise, they're just getting free points.
Yeah, and if they want to play somebody who likes to drink a lot and be the social drinking life of the party, fantastic. No points.
Yeah, it's not an addiction. Yeah.
It's great for your character. Love it. Lovable rogue who sometimes does dangerous things. Love the idea. Yeah. Not an addiction.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. Thanks for tuning in again. Check us out online, www.idleredhands.com, idleredhands.com. See us on Facebook. Listen to us on Stitcher, forums, DriveThruRPG. Write reviews in there. Thanks again, Tim, for writing that one. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Bye.
Later.
Bye. Idle Red Hands, recorded in Kobe, Japan. See us online at www.idleredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.